The word of the Lord, which we set our hearts to this morning, is taken from John chapter 2. We will read verses 13 through 22 and then verse 25 as well. This is the account of Jesus cleansing the temple of the Lord. Starting with verse 13. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. And then verse 25, it says, "He did not need testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person." This is the word of the Lord. So we're continuing through this series, The Struggle is Real, walking with Jesus through his struggle in Lent, and then looking at how we struggle alongside with Jesus. And in our text, we see Jesus during the Jewish Passover. We see him going into the temple, and he sees these people outwardly. It looks like they are honoring God, honoring his word, worshiping him. Everything looks good on the outside, but he still sees that there's a need for a bit of a change, maybe a reform that needs to take place, not only in the temple courts, but in the hearts of those people who were there as well. And so this morning we're going to look at that and just consider how we need that as well. We need Jesus to come into our lives to cleanse us as well. As we look at these words, the three things we're going to look at are the outer appearance, the inner filth, and then the cleansing agent. Let's start first point, the outer appearance, and maybe just a little context as to what is happening here. Jesus, he's going into the temple because this is the Jewish Passover celebration. The Jewish Passover, every single Jewish person was supposed to head to the temple and bring a sacrifice with them, and this happened every year. And so Jesus is going into this temple, and the temple was a gift that God gave to his people. The Jewish people, they saw this giant building, this temple, this ornate, beautiful church structure, and they associated that oftentimes with God's favor on them. You see, God was the one who gave this temple to them. 1,000 years prior, God told them, the Israelites, to build a house for him, a temple. And so that's what King Solomon did. He built an unbelievable temple. This temple was unbelievably ornate, just beautiful. We have really, really clear and precise instructions that God gave to the Israelites and what Solomon used, all of the different elements. If you took the gold out of the temple that was just inlaid in the inner part of the temple and you measured that and calculated how much that gold was worth in today's terms, it would be billions of dollars. And that's just the gold that was used in the temple, not including the articles that were in the temple and then some of the articles that were outside of the temple. And that's just the gold. So this temple was unbelievably ornate, unbelievably beautiful. And so you can imagine as the Israelites went to this temple, to this structure, you can imagine them just thinking, man, God really likes us. He's really on our side. Look at how much he has blessed us. God wants us to continue to succeed and thrive. They often associated the temple with God's favor on them. Unfortunately, we maybe you know Israel's history that they turned away from the Lord at times. And so he did send some discipline into their lives. The Babylonians, they came in and they actually destroyed that temple of Solomon. They took the articles out of it. They destroyed it, turned it to rubble. And after about 70 years away from Jerusalem, the Israelites, they came back and they rebuilt the temple. So they built a second temple. And that was the temple that Jesus actually went into then, about 1,000 years after Solomon's temple. It was that second temple, which had undergone a number of renovations here and there since they rebuilt it. But that was the temple that Jesus went into that that King Herod was actually spending time to renovate as well and make beautiful and big and amazing again. And you can imagine again that the Israelites, as that temple was destroyed, that they felt like, God, he's gone. He's taken his favor away from us. And then when it was rebuilt, and in Jesus' time, as Herod was dressing it up and making it look unbelievable, you can imagine that they're thinking, yep, God's on our side again. Things are going well. And so it probably came as a surprise to those Israelites when Jesus, he comes into this temple and he basically throws a fit. Even though it seemed like everything they were doing was right on the outside, Jesus, he throws a fit. He casts the animals out of the temple. He threw the change on the floor. He spoke badly about the people and what they were doing. How could Jesus do this, though? The Israelites, they got this temple from God. God was on their side. They were following the ceremonies that God gave to them. They were admired by the people of that day. So what Jesus was doing was just not right in their mind. How could Jesus do this in the face of God? Well, Jesus, he did see something that was wrong. After he had flipped the tables and drove the animals out, he said this, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a market." Even though on the outside everything appeared to be going well, they were doing everything right, even though on the outside it looked like God's favor was on them, Jesus is saying that there was a problem on the inside. Even though the Israelites, they didn't see the problem, Jesus did. That's why it says in verse 25, right at the very end, it says, he knew what was in each person. Even though on the outside it looked good, on the inside it was not. I remember the very first house that I ever helped flip, I remember pulling up to it for the very first time and thinking, you know, this won't be too bad. The house, it needed a little bit of work. It hadn't been lived in for a few years. But on the outside, it looked like we could just do some cosmetic updates and everything would be good. And then we walked inside. Things changed then. Looked like we were in for a little bit more work than I initially anticipated when I first saw it on the outside. And then we went to the basement. And that is when my heart sunk. In the basement, there was a sight that I will never forget. It was a cistern. They had one of those big old cisterns in the house, and it was filled with trash. Trash that had been sitting there for years and years. It smelled and looked disgusting, and there were all kinds of unimaginable creatures crawling around in there. It was a terrible sight to see. Jesus reminds us that even though the outside of things look good, the inside can be completely filthy. That's what was happening in the temple. Outside, these people, they were operating according to the rules and ceremonies of God, and it looked like things were going well because of how the temple looked. But on the inside, Jesus said there was an inner filth. How do we find out what that inner filth is? Well, just take a look at our text. It says that after Jesus cleansed the temple, it says that those who were there, they responded by saying this, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do this?" You see, this temple was God's house. He was the one who gave it to the Israelites. This is where he dwelled oftentimes when he was with the Israelites in their history. This was God's house, and so along with that, it meant that God's rules applied at that house. So Jesus comes in, though, and he basically says that they're not following the rules that they should be following. Now, the Israelites, they didn't understand this. This was God's house. Jesus shouldn't be making rules here. This is God Almighty's house, not Jesus' house. And so you can imagine, maybe you've heard that phrase in your own lifetime. I know I heard it from my dad. This is my house, my rules. When you have your own house, you can make your own rules. The Israelites, they had a problem with Jesus because this was God's house, and Jesus came into this house, and he started making rules. And so they turned to Jesus and told him, "Prove to us you are who you say you are. Prove to us that you are God. Show us some sort of sign. Show us some sort of a miracle that proves that you really are God, that you can come in here and make rules." In other words, here's the issue that they had with Jesus. They didn't have any issue with what he said. Their issue was with his authority. In other words, they were going to follow their own rules. They were going to follow the rules that they had been following, and they weren't going to listen to what Jesus said at all. They didn't care what rules Jesus brought. They were going to follow their own rules. And so that's the real filth that Jesus sees in their hearts. It's this desire to follow their own rules, their own man-made rules. It was their desire to treat themselves as God. And it's no wonder that Jesus, it says, he knew what was in each person's heart. He knew the filth that was in their desire to treat themselves as God and not care what God's word really said. How do you and I find that filth in our own hearts? That was the filth that was in their hearts. How do you and I discover the filth in our own basement of our hearts? Well, how do you find it in your own house? You know, we didn't have a basement in my house growing up, but what we did have is a really creepy, disgusting room above the garage. And I remember, we stored stuff in there. We treated it kind of like a basement. We put stuff up there and stored it there and had to get stuff out of there. I remember any time I was told to go in there to get something or put something away, I remember I always made a ruckus. I wanted whatever creature or crawly, creepy thing, filthy thing that was living in there, I wanted it to know that I was coming so that hopefully it would crawl off into the corner and I wouldn't have to see it. So I would make a noise. I would pound on the walls. I would kick the walls of the garage. And then I would open the door just hoping that those disgusting, creepy, filthy creatures were hidden and I wouldn't have to see them. See, the only way to discover the real filth is to surprise it, is to sneak up on it. And that's true of our own lives as well. The only way to really discover how you're treating God and how you look at his rules is to be surprised. God oftentimes does this by sending some struggles into our lives, allowing struggles to happen to us. And it reveals just how it is we're treating God and how we think about God and how we're going to respond to his rules. How do you respond when Jesus doesn't follow through with the miracles that you were hoping he would perform? You know, these Jewish people, they asked Jesus to perform a miracle here, and he just wouldn't do it right away. Right? He didn't perform a miracle to prove that he was there, that he was God Almighty. How do we respond when God doesn't bring the miracles that we're hoping for? You know, there's a really interesting case study of this just before our text. In the very beginning of John chapter 2, we see a person who's looking for a miracle but doesn't get it. And it's interesting to see how she responds. Jesus, he goes to a wedding. He brings his family along. Some of his disciples are there. And he goes to this wedding, and the hosts of the wedding, they ran out of wine, which was a major party foul in Jewish culture. And so Mary, Jesus' mother, she comes up to Jesus with concern in her heart. She cared for these people. She wanted to protect their reputation. She didn't want them to become spoken of badly by other people. And so she comes to Jesus with the request. She simply says, Jesus, they've run out of wine. She's basically asking Jesus to do something. And Jesus responds basically by saying, mind your own business. My time hasn't come yet. He doesn't perform a miracle that she was hoping he would do to solve this problem. And how does she respond? She doesn't get angry. She doesn't yell at Jesus and say, hey, respect your mother. She doesn't do any of that. Instead, what she does is she patiently waits. She waits for her son, her Savior, to provide a solution. There have been all kinds of struggles and surprises that we have seen and faced over the last year or so. As these struggles and these surprises have come into your life, how have you responded? Has it made you a far more patient and loving and caring person? Or has it maybe revealed that there is a bit of impatience, a little bit of anger? There's maybe a bit of irritability in your own heart as well. When those miracles don't come that you're depending on, that you're hoping for, oftentimes what happens is we respond the same way as these Jewish people. We take matters into our own hands. We think we know better than God. We think we're right and he's wrong. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he says that you and I, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's saying that God has made his house in our heart, in our soul. He lives there. But as we look into our own heart and into the basement of the filth of our own hearts, we're reminded that there's a cleansing that needs to take place, a cleansing for those times where as we face these struggles, these surprises of life, we're impatient, we're angry, we think we know better than God, and ultimately it leads to an inner moral filth. And so we need that cleansing. And that's why Jesus came into this world, isn't it? He came into this world to cleanse the world. He went into that temple, just as he went into that temple to cleanse it. God came into this world to cleanse our hearts and our souls as well. That's the very reason why Jesus came into this world. He didn't come into this world to be treated like Almighty God, but to plunge himself into the depth of the filth of this sin-filled world. He came to be treated as a criminal, as he hung upon a cross, all to cleanse our souls from the filth of our sins. He patiently endured terrible suffering for our times of being impatient with others. He suffered an unthinkable death for those times where we think we know better than God. He faced the very wrath and anger of God Almighty for those times where we deal with other people in anger. That's what Jesus faced. He faced all of that to cleanse us of the sin in our hearts. You know, as we look around at this world and we see all the terrible things that are happening, it can be hard at times to trust that God knows what he's doing, that he really is in control. But friends, I'm here to remind you today that you can trust your loving God. In a world that is filled with surprises and uncertainty, he is the one thing that you truly can rely on. He is the one thing that truly is certain. He's the one that you can trust. You can trust the one who is willing to dive into the dirty depths of hell to wipe away the grime of sin from your soul. Friends in Christ, you can take God at his word. You can trust his word. Every last one. Amen.